Thank you for continuing on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taking over from my colleague, Najib Arif. We're looking at some of the market updates. One of the more important items this week is, of course, the possible interest rate movement that might take place on the 7th or 8th of September. Of course, Bank Negara has held the OPR rate steady for the past two meetings. And, of course, so we want to know what the expectations are from the market. Joining us is Cheng Siu, the Associate Director of Investment. He's a fund manager there. She is a fund manager there, pardon me, Cheng Siu, of Phillip Capital. Let's take a quick look in terms of how you assess the current monetary stance or the policy stance of Bank Negara right now and perhaps the implications of it to the FBMK-LCI performance.
Hi, good morning, Sani. I think most of the analysts or investors in the market right now expect that Bank Negara will hold this OPR steady this time, you know, on the 7th September. Well, I think theoretically we still have room to hike, you know, back to the pre-COVID level, which is 3.25. But at this current level, we don't see any reason that for Bank Negara to hike this time, because we see GDP growth has actually moderated. Inflation pressure also easing. Therefore, we think hike this time is highly unlikely.
Because of the rate being the hike being unlikely, is this a market consensus, or is this just mostly an outlying view by Phillip Capital?
Based on the Bloomberg, I think 27 out of 28 analysts all think that it is highly unlikely.
Do you think that the OPR influence is going to impact business confidence and investment decisions of Malaysian firms?
Yes, definitely. It is very important, you know, the cost of borrowing, you know, the cost of living, cost of doing business. I think, you know, based on the data indicators right now, I think we should have kept it, you know, steady at 3%. But what I mean is it is possible to hike back to the pre-COVID level, which is 3.25, which was still, you know, probably seen as a normalized level. Yeah. But this time, we think that it is unlikely, as other analysts thought as well.
Let's move on to Bursa outlook this week. A lot of research houses are now saying that the market is expected to be trading sideways this week. This is because some of the ideas here are looked into as investors cashing in some recent strong gains in areas like or sectors like property and construction, perhaps in anticipation with government policy support. Would Phillip Capital, I guess, concur with these kind of views?
Yeah, I think not only this week, but I think next week as well, until, you know, 20th September, which is, you know, the FOMC meeting is going to be held. Then, you know, before the Fed rate decision to be made, I think market will thread cautiously. And we agree that it will move sideline, you know, for the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Bursa, of course, did end lower yesterday marginally. This is, of course, the mild profit-taking moment right now. On selected heavyweight items, do you feel that this is setting the tone for many of the, at least retail investors right now? Do you feel that there is a hesitancy in terms of them trying to place bets this week?
I think they will remain very cautious. In fact, in August, only local institutional net buyer, retailers still remain, you know, generally net seller. It's only the foreign investor with a net buyer, right? So we think that certain counters, for example, property and construction, that was, you know, boiled by the team, special financial zone, right? Plan in Forest City, all that. You know, I think it's a bit too much. Probably it was subject to profit taking, which we are seeing what is happening right now. And give it a little bit of pause. We think that, you know, market should digest a little bit more.
There is some news, at least from the policy standpoint. This is because Prime Minister Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim yesterday approved part of the applications for the recruitment of foreign workers involving, say, for instance, textile, goldsmith, barbershops. And in doing this, the PM placed the condition that local youth could be trained to fill up the vacancies in these kind of sectors. Do you think that these kind of sectors are going to be impacting some companies in the bourse, or do you feel that this has got nothing to do with the kind of foreign workers that is going to be used, say, for instance, in plantation and rubber? Do you feel that, these are two different items?
Well, I think there will be some impact somewhat, right? I think the labor force, which is quite on a strict landscape, you know, after the COVID, the mismatch, all that, I think this will help a little bit to ease the shortage in labor. And our Prime Minister, actually also said that, you know, is going to approve the multi-entry visa for, especially that is related to the forest city, right? And I think that as what our neighbor is doing, that they actually, in terms of tourism, right? Thailand has actually lifted, you know, implement a visa-free for China tourists. I think more and more we are going to open up and liberalize, including the application for the foreign worker as well, which is good for our industry because we are quite heavy in manufacturing, plantation, which is very labor intensive.
Let's now bring in the context of current global economic situation. When you think about traders trying to maintain or understand the risk and opportunities that lie within the local market, how would investors, I guess, or traders read the way they would behave for this week and next week in the current context of the global situation right now?
Well, I think the global economy outlook, you know, hinges on several critical factors that include the extent of China growth slowdown, the intensity of U.S.-China tension, and also the degree, you know, to which U.S. economy might weaken for, you know, Fed to unwind the rate hike. You know, all this, the news, you know, every day, investor sentiment will be driven by all this news, right? What we think that the next 1 to 2 weeks, the market will be quite cautious, waiting for the results of whether, you know, Fed is going to hike or not. Although consensus think that, you know, Fed is not going to hike this time and probably another 25 basis point in November. Well, I think we have to be prudent. We consider the possibility of hike this time as well on the 20th September, because if we look at the data, we think that, you know, yes, the unemployment rate has surged to about 3.8% from 3.5%. And we see some, you know, the average of wages, you know, the time, working time also coming off. But if you look at the non-farm payroll, which is about 187,000 in August, is way above the 100,000, which, you know, Jay Powell is, you know, wants to see it, right? And we think that will probably be a trigger point if it hikes this time.
Let's focus on China right now. China has proposed tougher than expected rules on commodities trading by its state-owned giants as Beijing continues to seek or tackle hidden risks when it comes to the world's biggest raw materials market. The government, of course, is gathering feedback from some of China's top state-run energy, metals and food companies on draft regulations that aim to guard against fraud and halt what officials view as wasteful financial activities. Do you feel that these tougher than expected measures on commodities is going to impact not just the commodities trading in China, but globally as well?
If you notice, right, the commodity prices recently has actually ticked up. So I think that is partly due to that policy. And that is, aside from that, I think is supported by, you know, a slew of stimulus measure that to help the property segment, right? I think the commodity price, the direction, I think is difficult to gauge. If you look at the crude oil prices now, it's about 88 now, right? And aluminum prices, metal prices are all with a little bit of tick up. If the China economic growth is good, you know, I think the commodity price will continue to rise regardless of the policy.
Do you feel that commodity prices are going to fall then because of this?
No, we think that if we still believe a lot of people think that, you know, the China economic growth is going to slow down significantly, which we are against the consensus. We think that that would be quite resilient, especially, you know, the central government in China has actually rolled out a slew of stimulus measures, including, like, you know, lower the lending rate, you know, lower the home purchase restriction, down payment, mortgage rate, and this time it's nationwide, you know, including tier one city. So, you know, and also with the recent China cut the forex reserve ratio, you know, from 6% to 4%, which is quite a drastic move, is to support the yuan, right? So we expect, yes, they have recognized the economic weakness right now, and therefore we see a lot of stimulus measure rolling out. And if the confidence come back, I think the commodity price will come back as well, you know, supported by the better economic growth activity. Yeah.
China Evergrande Group is still going through a lot of drama right now when it comes to, you know, getting a U.S. court approval for a $32 billion U.S. dollar debt overhaul. They're trying to find how they can recover from a $2 billion loss in terms of value trading very recently as the creditors continue to vote against it. Do you feel that the property market in China is going to be in trouble right now because of, you know, China Evergrande Group leading the way of investors, you know, leaving the Chinese property market?
I think China property market is already in trouble right now, and it has been for years. This issue has been for years, and we think that the property bubble is actually poked by the central government by themselves, you know, purposely, deliberately to poke the bubble, and now they have to face all the potential, you know, possible defaults. Not only Evergrande, you know, the recent one is Country Garden is also at the brink, whether it's going to be defaulted or not. I think China got to learn from the US, you know, if they are not competitive enough, the property developer just let it collapse. I think they will control and take care of the buyer, the home buyer, instead of the corporates. You know, like what happened in the US, there are many banks collapse, right? But it's like a usual thing, a normal thing, you know, in the business space. Well, I think China is learning that. But of course, we see a lot of stimulus, the measures to control the systemic risk, you know, from the property segment. So we think that is under control, not a too big problem.
Okay, yeah. One final question before we jump into asking you about some of the ideas from Philip Capital. Still in China, top economic planner is creating a new department to help private businesses. This is, of course, the latest step in the government to revive confidence in the sector, and this is to bolster growth. Private Economy Development Bureau, pardon me, will be responsible for tackling the state industries along coordinating with drafting policies to promote its growth. There is this thing called the National Development and Reform Commission that has been announced. What would people like me try to make from this particular piece of news?
I think now the most concern in China is the confidence, right? The business confidence. So by this special group of the working group is to tackle the SME issues, right? In terms of the funding for the business, in terms of the environment of doing business. I think if all this, their requirement has been well taken care of, especially the SME, I think the market sentiment will come back, the confidence, the business confidence will come back, and therefore it will be good for the overall markets going forward. I think they see issues and problem, and they have rolled out a very targeted measure to tackle that, which is a good news to us. Yep.
Okay, let's talk about Philip Capital right now. So what are you guys up to? Maybe you want to share some of your products and services as well?
Well, maybe just, Philip Capital is a group of companies that offer a range of financial services, include fund management, managed accounts, unit trusts, insurance planning, stocks and future trading. And we are also a one-stop investment solution provider platform for more than 400 unit trust funds and more than 76 PRS funds. Yeah, I think that's about it for Philip Capital.
But you feel that there's a lot more institutional investors or retail investors are part of your makeup as well?
There will be a lot of private wealth, high net worth investors, which are very cautious right now. But, you know, the market is good in, low enough. I think it's good timing to enter the market. Yeah.
All right. Final word about the markets right now, particularly those that might not, you know, be too familiar with how the outlook is going to be like. Do you feel that, you know, they should look at the market a little bit more cautiously, or do you think that now's the time to look at opportunities, fixed income maybe? We haven't talked about that yet. Do you feel that these are the areas of interest for, I guess, investors to look at?
I got to stress that the fact that, you know, the market is not going to be easy for the next few years or even next decades, because we are going through this, you know, unseen great changes in the century because of this superpower transition, the tension between US and China, you know, and this is going to persist. The tension is going to persist and the volatility is going to persist. So if you can't take risks, I think equity market is not really a good choice for you. But we see challenges, but we at the same time, we see opportunity too. At this level, especially our view is the interest rate cycle is at the tail end right now, right? And we think that China economic growth is going to be resilient, supported by the slew of stimulus measure, and Malaysia will benefit from that. And besides that, you know, Malaysia actually correlates positively with China economy and the currency as well. So I think if we believe that China economic growth is no issue, you know, the Malaysia should benefit from that. And not only that, China plus one is another thing, right? And also with the recent BRICS, with a new addition of members like Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, I think Argentina, Iran, and another one, Ethiopia, right? And all this will collaborate and actually stimulate the economic growth and activities between the emerging market, including Malaysia. So, well, we see Malaysia equity has actually gained some strength post-state election, right? If you see that, right? And we think if Anwar, you know, continue to deliver what he has announced with a good execution and policy continuity, I think that that will be quite good for Malaysia, you know, market, you know, especially we think that, you know, there are a few positive catalysts here, right? China reopening is going to boost Malaysia tourism, Malaysia foreign shareholdings at the record low, right? And valuation is cheap, FDI continue to come in, the tech cycle is bottoming out. So I don't see any reason to stay away from our Malaysian market at this moment. In fact, it is an opportunity to deploy some cash right now.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much, Cheng Siu. Cheng Siu is the Associate Director of Investment at Fund Manager at Phillip Capital, joining us live from Kuala Lumpur. We don't have much time left, so I'm just going to do a quick roundup in terms of some of our economic news. You know, there's a lot of posturing from the government, including one that is by the local government development or KPKT ministry. Now, a total of 10.7 million ringgit has been allocated by KPKT to implement projects to upgrade and maintain public infrastructure and to replace lifts in Tambun Ipoh, Taiping and Teluk Intan. The local government development minister, Nga Kor Ming, said that all projects would be implemented by MBI or the Ipoh City Council and the Perak Housing and Property Board, LPHP. Still in Perak, the government there will maximise the use of its Geographic Information System or GIS in making any decisions or formulating policies in line with the development of digitalisation. Perak MB Datuk Seri Saarani Muhammad said that the system will not only help the state government in formulating policies but also will help in the development planning, making decisions and monitoring law enforcement in that state. Meanwhile, iGEM, or the International Green Tech and Eco Products Exhibition and Conference Malaysia, will be held at KLCC from the 4th to 6th of October this year. iGEM is organised by the Ministry of Natural Resources, Environment and Climate Change, or ANRAC, and with the help of MGTC, or the Malaysian Green Tech Climate Change Corporation. IJAM is, of course, a key hallmark when it comes to conferences regarding the ability for us to understand better on the green technology and eco-products solutions. Many of the startups in this space will be there as well. Moving on to some corporate news, Dayang Enterprise Holdings Berhad Pan-Malaysia contract with Kebabangan Petroleum Operating Company Sdn Bhd or KPOC to develop the maintenance, construction and modification services and has been extended by a year and 5 months until the end of next year. The integrated oil and gas provider said that an exchange filing in the contract has been extended from 17 July this year until 31st December next year. In other news, HSS Engineers Berhad or HEB Associate Company, HSS Integrated Sendirian Berhad or HSSI has received a 70 million ringgit contract from Malaysia Airports Berhad. This is to be the lead consultant for the amendment of the Sultan Abdul Aziz Shah Subang Airport Master Plan. There's some news in the financial sector. Aeon Credit Services Berhad yesterday issued a senior sukuk with a nominal amount of a quarter of a billion ringgit or 250 million ringgit having a tenure of 5 years. This is the third tranche of the financial service providers Sukuk Wakalah program amounting to 2 billion ringgit in nominal value. I always have a soft spot when it comes to Sukuk because, well, that was when I carved out my career. But I don't know whether this kind of market is going to be an attractive market for fixed income investors. Anyway. Chin Heng Group Property Berhad or CHGP has proposed a private placement of 102.4 million ringgit to finance the working capital requirements of its property development projects, internally funding their projects there. Lion Industries Corporate Berhad is selling two parcels of land measuring about 26.8 acres in Kawasan Perindustrian Olat Lempit in Banting for 92 million ringgit in cash. Moving along to some global news, as per our conversation just now with Cheng Siu, there's a lot of, or Philip Capital, there's a lot of postulations coming in from China. But focusing in the US, the UK and the UK, these are still some worthy conversations that needs to be held, including the UK drivers, for instance, were hit by one of the sharpest jumps in fuel prices in more than two decades last month. According to the RAC motoring organisation, the average cost of filling a tank climbed by roughly £4 in August this year, with unleaded petrol rising by almost 7 pence a litre and diesel by 8 pence a litre by the statement from the RAC. Nordic and Baltic governments should consider mechanisms to keep track of their cross-border financial flows to better gauge risks following money laundering scandals over the past few years. This is coming in from a report from the IMF. The advice comes as Nordic banks are wrapping up a string of dirty money scandals dating from the pandemic. And one final news coming in from Sweden's government. They plan to cut income taxes to its 2024 budget in an effort to increase incentives to work as well as providing some relief to households who are reeling under rising cost of living. The measure, which is aimed at trying to help low and middle income earners, will cost about 11 billion krona or about 1 billion US dollars. These are the kind of news that we can bring to you locally and internationally. I just want to highlight to you that the current election is currently happening in Pulai, Johor, based on some data coming in from SPR. As at 10 a.m., the voter turnout is at 34%. We're trying to bring you more updates coming in from Pulai by election, special election, as well as the Simpang Jeram as well. So do keep track on these two elections on our election channel, Astro Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.